AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden has been speaking at Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Martin Luther King Jr. once preached.
These are the vital questions of our time, and the reason why I'm here as your president. I believe Dr. King's life and legacy show us the way, and we should pay attention. I really do.
The president also is reviving his call for sweeping voting rights legislation. More documents, more classified, have been discovered by the president's attorneys at the family home in Delaware and handed over to the National Archives. But Republican James Comer tells CNN he sees a double standard.
Why was Mar-a-Lago raided, but the president's home not?
There's a good reason for that, says Democrat Daniel Goldman on CBS's Face the Nation.
We don't have any indication that President Biden knew about them. He certainly has demonstrated no intent to deceive or obstruct the government by keeping them. And that's in direct contrast to President Trump, who refused to cooperate, who refused to comply with a subpoena.
Sacramento County has issued an evacuation order for parts of the Wilton area, but many residents say they aren't leaving. Here's KOVR reporter Bradley Halbleeb.
Wilton resident Catherine O'Boyle is among those staying behind.
Because we have animals to take care of. I've got dogs and cats and chickens, and we have to feed them. And
the evacuation order comes after Sacramento County officials warned residents about rising water levels along the Cosumnes River.
People will not leave their animals. The animals is an extension of their family.
Lynette Titus lives in Elk Grove, but says she understands why people wouldn't leave.
We've had storms now since New Year's Eve, and everybody's kind of numb to it.
California isn't the only state dealing with severe weather.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The president's disaster declaration last night makes residents and businesses in Merced, Sacramento, and Santa Cruz counties eligible for federal aid, including home repairs and low-cost loans to cover uninsured property losses. This morning, the president declared Autauga and Dallas counties in Alabama disaster areas after tornadoes ripped through last week.
At least 68 people have been killed in a plane crash in central Nepal, the BBC's Caroline Davies reports.
The Yeti Airlines flight from Kathmandu to the tourist town of Pokhara took off at 10:32 a.m. local time this morning. According to the Nepali army, it crash-landed 1.5 kilometers from Pokhara Airport. Images of clouds of black smoke and flames have been posted on social media, allegedly from the crash site. Nepal has some of the world's most remote and difficult runways, and weather conditions in the mountains can change suddenly.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Oil and natural gas keep going up as the Russia conflict escalates. Get in on the next major oil boom now and help the U.S. with your patriotic investment that can potentially pay you monthly income for up to 20 or more years. If you're an SEC-accredited investor and have at least $25,000 liquid now, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects and a huge tax savings for this year. Call 800-278-7455. That's 800-278-7455.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Get off the endless debt treadmill and start saving money each month. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Call Total Financial now at 800-208-1312. 800-208-1312.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 37. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows dip down to about 32. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely, daytime highs approaching 37. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. I'm pretty happy that we got that on camera of us all playing our respective instruments for On Wisconsin. We are going to talk about yesterday's inauguration, and here to join us and give his thoughts on the ceremony, the speeches, but maybe not the gala, because it sounds like you did not go. Your invite got lost in the mail too, right, Dan Schaefer?
Yeah, lost in the mail. I'm not fancy enough to go to these Madison parties at the inauguration. I'm just gonna hang out here in Milwaukee and, you know, eat pizza with my kids.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sounds amazing.
All right, so we were on air during the actual rotunda swearing in and the speeches, and I think there was a marching band of some band from, I'm guessing maybe it was West High School, I don't know, was there, but it was full. I saw some pictures. I had it on streaming, but obviously we had a live radio show, so I did not get to watch much of it. Were you watching the live coverage of yesterday starting at 11?
I watched the whole thing. You know, it was, I like these big ceremonial type of things that government does when everybody starts out these sessions with, you know, saying, oh, we're going to be bipartisan and we're going to work together, and like all these wonderful platitudes that will, you know, immediately be chucked out the door as soon as the rubber hits the road. But I like the, you know, the symbolic message of it, to just like the reset, the starting something new, the over the top pomp and circumstance. And then you had, you know, things like Tony Evers getting up in his speech, and he's going to go up and play the hits now. So he started his speech by saying, I'm Tony Evers, and yes, I'm jazzed as hell to be sworn in as the 46th governor of the great state of Wisconsin, and ended his speech, you know, as only Evers truly could, with Wisconsin, let's polka tonight and let's get to work tomorrow. So he's just really playing the hits to start things and close things. I feel like that was really a theme throughout of it. It was just, you know, all these guys saying much what they have throughout the campaign.
Were there any mackerels thrown in there?
I don't think there are any holy mackerels thrown in there. He didn't, you know, swear anything past the jazzed as hell. That's when, you know, Evers is really fired up, when he drops a BS line or something like that in
or
there.
GD.
I feel like we should come up with some sort of Evers anger scale, where it's just like, you know, the BS. I'm trying not to swear on live radio here, so I'll just kick it back to you. But I think, you know, we should really get something like that to talk.
I mean, truly, the Obama anger interpreter was one of the best. And so I don't know what that would look like as a Wisconsin version for Tony Evers, but there's something there. Greg, get on it.
All right, fine. I,
I feel like the top would actually not even be swears. It'd be like, now you've done it. And then his eyes just light up with fire, like, oh no, Tony's gone nuclear.
Does Tony Evers as Homelander?
Tony Evers saying something like, listen here, buddy. And it's like, whoa, we gotta take a step back there.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
So I think you make a good point, though, because I feel like on both sides right now, there's been sentiments about not real compromise, but like lowering the temperature between things that Brian Schimming has said in his newly elected position as the GOP chair. Voss has even said a little bit of like, well, we're not going to reintroduce bills that we know he's just going to veto, that Devers has said, you know, what do we need to do to get some of these appointments through? And so do you think it's all, we're not going to swear, BS? Do you think it's actually with good intentions? And do you think there's any chance of not, I'm not going to say everything's going to just be kumbaya, but it is, could it be different this time around, knowing that they can't just, they being the GOP, can't just dig their heels in as much? And to be fair, I've also heard that it's not like the Evers administration was always coming to the table either.
Right. So I think, you know, you think back to these last 4 years of Tony Evers' term, and so much of it from the Republican side in the legislature has been defined by this policy of obstruction, whether it's the gavel in, gavel outs, whether it's not bringing Democratic bills up for public hearings, whether it's not addressing the 180 appointments that never, that the state Senate just never took up, whether it's, you know, the guys like the letting people stay on the DNR board or the Technical College board, all of these things that the Republicans did to try to make Tony Evers a one-term governor failed. So you would hope that they have to, you know, alter their strategy a little bit, knowing that they were not able to make Evers a one-term governor. You know, they played basically 4 years of legislative keep away to try to keep Evers from doing even, you know, the types of things that had consensus popularity, things like expanding Medicaid, you know, legalizing marijuana, increasing school funding, all the different things that, you know, as Evers kind of quipped during his speech yesterday, are the types of things that pull off the charts on the Marquette Law poll. You know, he was, I think he had a line here in the speech saying that, like, I'm not naive enough to believe that 100% of the people who cast their ballot agree with me on every issue. Depending on the issue, it's probably closer to 60, 70, 80% based on the Marquette Law poll. So he is trying to, you know, put forward those issues where there is kind of a more of a broad consensus in the state of Wisconsin. You know, I don't think, you know, the Republicans are going to come and have these, this kumbaya moment that, that people might be hoping for. But I do think it's going to have to be a little bit better than last session, knowing that they failed in their ultimate goal of preventing that second term.
One, because, I mean, the only reason why I'm starting to think maybe the difference between just words and actions is Fred Prenz stepped down. And yesterday, three of the Technical College board people, women, it was all women, right?
Yeah.
Had also stepped down. And so, like, there is some people saying, all right, we're, it's not necessarily the elected officials, but some of the appointed people who refuse to step down are like, all right, I'm gonna walk away now. And that's the only thing that's kind of been a, like a kernel of maybe it won't be as bad.
I think it has to do with what we were talking about in the earlier segment, too, with the House, is that that strategy just didn't work, so they have to correct now. And you're going to have the residual of, like, you know, have the people in, you'll have those people who will try to be obstructionists, but you got people like Voss who's just going to say, like, all right, let's just get things done. And will people in the GOP in Madison turn on Voss then?
Mm-hmm.
Can they? Because he's, I mean, I would say he's got a lot of power. So, but like,
he's also vindictive as AF.
Yeah, exactly. But like, is this what we're seeing right now in, like, the public, like, just, they're like, oh, we can't do this anymore. We got to get something done. It might not be everything we like or not a lot, but it's more than last time.
Well, Voss, so I happened to watch Voss's speech yesterday.
I was going to ask, okay.
Well, so it's always very funny to hear Robin Voss talk about compromise and bipartisanship and all of these things that he has done none of. during his extended time as Assembly Speaker. And it's also very interesting to see Voss try to paint himself as some sort of moderate,
yeah,
just because there's like one or two representatives that are now to the right of him, that he, you know, people like Janelle Branchen, who he empowered through making her the head of the elections committee in the last session. So now he's trying to paint himself as the moderate. And I think he said at one point in the speech, you know, 90% of the work is in the middle in Wisconsin, and painting himself as kind of being part of that middle is very funny, considering the fact that we have more than a decade of evidence that he is nothing of the sort. But I think there, you know, there are these like incremental steps that he's kind of, you know, signified. Like, take the Milwaukee local revenue issue, mm-hmm, for example. 2 years ago, in interviews, he does these kind of like interview circuits with like the policy forums and the WisPolitics of the world, and in the kind of like off season before the session, and before, he said on the local sales tax, he said this is never happening, never, never, never. And now he's saying, okay, it's probably not happening. We want to see reform. We want to see privatization. We want to see blah, blah, blah. Well, that's a little better, right? Like, it's a little better that he is not just shutting down the entire thing. But again, he's not exactly the most bipartisan compromise type of guy, as much as he's trying to paint himself as that now.
And that's an interesting thing that I haven't dug in enough. Because I heard that he's saying that. It's like, well, I want them to exhaust. I want the, you know, Crowley, Common Council, Chevy, to exhaust their options of what could be privatized. And I understand the argument of efficiencies and all of this stuff with business, but ultimately there's things that are public goods. And when you privatize them, those private entities are looking to make money. They're not doing it because it is a right or a public good, right? Like they're looking to turn a profit on whatever they do. So like, I don't know. I haven't dug in and be like, well, what could we even privatize that would make sense and not just screw over the people who need these services?
When I worked for the city of Racine, one of the things we looked at doing was privatizing our garbage pickup. And we met with some companies and we found out in the long run, after looking at projections to what you're saying, they're looking to make as much money by spending as least amount of money, which means cutting things within their business, which means cutting services to the people. And we found out that privatizing garbage pickup in Racine would have costed more and been less of a value for the people. So whenever someone talks about the beauty of privatization, that's the first thing I always think about, is that scenario is like, it's going to cost you more in the long run and people are going to be more angry and there's going to be less recourse.
Well, you also put up in a position to give them a monopoly.
Yeah.
Who likes We Energies?
They're the number one energy source for you here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Does anyone like We Energy?
No.
Does anyone think it's working?
No. It's the same with Spectrum.
That's what they're saying. We need more We Energy style government in Wisconsin.
This is really working for everyone right now.
It should
now.
Just be called We Energy. Yeah. There's no more than one. Just We Energy.
All right, well, we got to take a break, but Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here when we come back. If you have any questions or comments for us, feel free to text them in 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
When I was young, I was the nicest guy I knew.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Greg Bach is here. He's very excited about this bumper music that Jane Matinera on the board played. And we are joined by Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Greg, before we go back into yesterday's inauguration, you seem very excited about that bumper music.
That was Lemmy.
Who?
Motorhead's lead singer, now RIP, is gone now. But Lemmy, that was Lemmy singing an acoustic song, which, if you know Motorhead, Ace of Spades. Okay, I'm talking to my sister, apparently.
I think Jane gets it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, if there's any way you can work Ace of Spades into this soon, you can just hear what Lemmy's known for. But okay.
Okay, Lemmy. Dan gets it, too. I'm the only one who's lost a deer in headlights right now.
Oh, man, you're just not with what the kids are listening to nowadays.
And I just
Didn't you have a metalhead phase growing up, Kristen? Come on now.
I had a strong
musical
Broadway. Yeah. Yes, Broadway.
I just had to use it because talking about Governor Evers and the name of the song is I Ain't No Nice Guy, which I just think is perfect.
Lemmy was, though. He was a sweetheart.
The amount of Easter eggs that Jane puts into this show is just chef's kiss. All right. So we're talking about inauguration. We're talking about the speeches, bipartisanship. And that was one of the things as I was reading people's coverage of yesterday is that right now, Devin Lemmy, who, boss, they are very hung up on this flat income tax plan. And everything I understand this tax plan to be is that it would benefit people who are already making a lot of money. I would say it's probably still better than no income tax, which I know certain groups are really pushing for that, too. And I did not listen to Voss's speech. So what were some of the things that he said about that that you would like to discuss, Mr. Dan Schaefer?
Well, first, I think it's important to note that this was something that the Republicans denied that they were running on during the campaign. a friend of As Goes Wisconsin, Phil Rocco, wrote a piece for the Recombobulation Area talking about the flat tax proposal that Tim Michaels floated. And we got all sorts of backlash saying, oh, this isn't a real proposal, this isn't that. And as soon as the election's over, LeMahieu and Voss are like, yeah, we want a flat tax. We want to have this upwards redistribution of wealth.
We're going to die in this hill during the budget cycle.
Yeah. So they told us, they got so mad at us. We even got pushback from like Grover Norquist over our piece on this, which was very ridiculous. And I can send you the link to the rebuttal that Phil wrote, which was hilarious. But they so insisted, they were so furious with us for saying that Republicans wanted a flat tax. And as soon as the election's over, they're like, yeah, we want a flat tax. So, funny campaign politics versus actual legislating politics as well. But Robin Voss did bring this up again. He had kind of three main points as legislative priorities that he mentioned in his speech when he was elected speaker. Not quite as tumultuous of a vote to elect him speaker as Kevin McCarthy is facing in the House right now. But he did not get 100% of Republicans voting for him. There were 60 votes of the 64 for Voss. I'm still trying to figure out who those four votes are. I know Janelle Branchen is one of them.
Absolutely.
But you know, one of the things that he talked about as a challenge in Wisconsin is Wisconsin's demographic crisis, having no net population growth over the past decade. You know, it's a real mystery who was in charge that past decade. Who could have possibly caused those potential policies with people leaving the state? Who could it have been?
I mean, but Scott Walker had that $1 million ad campaign. You're saying that didn't work?
That did not work. You know, we don't know who was in charge. We don't know who to pin the blame on for these types of things. Couldn't have been the unified Republican government that was advancing. You know, who knows? But he talked about a flat tax as a way to attract people to live in the state of Wisconsin, which I know, Kristen, you've talked about as something that has been floated throughout the campaign is really speaking to the millennial audience. You know, let's get rid of women's reproductive rights. Let's get rid of, you know, all sorts of different things. But, you know, if we have a flat tax and one of the things that he mentioned with that, and he's mentioned in a couple interviews, I watched too many of these Voss interviews during these the pre-session thing. But he talked about, you know, retired couples, you know, making their primary residence in Florida or Tennessee versus Wisconsin. This seems to be a big concern of Voss's. And he even went as far as to say, you know, that flat taxes, and I'm going to quote here, he says, just to be clear, it's not about rewarding the wealthy, even though there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a direct quote from
a wealthy guy. Popcorn King of Wisconsin.
And he's talking about people, whether retired couples having their permanent residence in Florida versus Wisconsin, really speaking to the needs of the state of Wisconsin, really talking about the real priorities that we should be addressing in the state assembly.
Well, and also really speaking to the needs of the workforce that we so desperately need.
Right.
And I will say, I get it. I have wealthy friends who, when they're like, I should leave New York because I make a lot of money, and if I went to a place like Puerto Rico or Florida or Texas, I wouldn't have to pay this in taxes. And then sometimes they get there, they're like, I miss New York, right? Yeah. There's a reason why you pay a premium on some places to live, and that we are not New York, but we are also not Florida. You know how someone check the weather in Florida right now
We're
and tell
there.
Me the difference of how much more sunshine and temperature they have than us, right? Like, there's certain places that we're not going to be able to compete with because some people just want to have vitamin D in the middle of the winter, right? And there's different, it's 81 degrees here right now. It's 37 here right now. And so I just don't buy that we will be a competitive place by simply lowering our taxes or eliminating income tax, because we need more to compete on than that, because we certainly don't have the weather. And now we're running out of time. Mr. Dan Schaefer, we'll have to have you back, not only again, but maybe for longer. Plenty of things to talk about. The budget, Supreme Court race. I'm sure you'll be writing about all of it on the Recompopulation Area. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. Well, when we come back, a conversation about how many friends, specifically good friends, do you actually need for optimal health? We'll be back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids. It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 37. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows dip down to about 32. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely, daytime highs approaching 37. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Thank you for joining us anywhere you're listening on the Civic Media Network. So talk about Wisconsin in the wild, which is something that we love to point out when Wisconsin shows up in national stories. But here is a story that happens right in our backyard in southeastern Wisconsin in Oak Creek about the Flagmakers, which is now an Oscar-contending short documentary that follows workers at our country's largest maker of American flags and flagpoles. And joining us is Sharon Lease, who is one of the co-directors of the Critic Choice nominated film, The Flagmakers. And it's already been having buzz for Oscar contender for short documentary. And there's also now buzz about a Broadway musical. So I feel like I'm so excited that you're here and I have so much to talk to you about. Welcome to the show, Sharon.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you also for your flexibility, because with the holidays and COVID, it's been some rescheduling to finally get you on here. But thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your interest.
So how did you, because you're not from Wisconsin. You don't live in Wisconsin.
I don't, and I'm not, but I am a Midwesterner.
Where are you from?
I live in Kansas City. I'm actually from upstate New York, but I've lived in more of my life. I've lived in the Kansas City area.
Okay, great. So Midwest pride. How did you and your co-director, Cynthia Wade, happen upon this story?
Well, Cynthia and I have collaborated a lot on projects, and we were talking about several years ago about the anti-immigrant sentiment growing in this country and wanted to do something with immigrants. And since I live in Kansas City, I found this program that was being done where immigrants and refugees were learning to sew in a 6-week sewing program, and then they had jobs after that. So we started to film that, and one of the women found a job at a flag factory in Kansas City. And once that happened, Cynthia and I were like, this is an incredible backdrop to be talking about immigrants. And we approached that flag factory, and they weren't so excited about the idea of having a film crew there, which is understandable. But we really liked the idea. So we did a nationwide search, and we found Eater Flag in Oak Creek. And it wasn't a slam dunk, but we talked to Jody Goglio there, who is the COO, and we just talked more and more. And when we visited the place, we walked in there and knew we would never look at the American flag the same way again. I mean, it's just the tapestry of America when you go in there.
And so once you got there, what was kind of the, because I know very little about making documentaries. I very much enjoy documentaries, but kind of what you said, sometimes it's as much journalism of pulling the thread of finding, turning on the cameras and trying to see what you're going to find, because it's not narrative. You don't know the beginning, middle, and end of what's going to happen. And so you get to Oak Creek, and how did you find your quote unquote main characters? How long did you film for? Kind of what was the process once you got to Wisconsin?
Well, it's interesting that you say that about, you know, documentaries, because when you're unscripted, you have to find the story.
Yeah.
You can't just go in and say, this is the story I'm going to tell, and then find the cast. So you have to work with what you have. And that's one of the reasons why we loved Eater Flag, because it was just a pool of people that anybody had a really interesting story. All the people that are immigrants and refugees, like, they had some incredible story about how they got there. Mm-hmm. And then working side by side with people who were Midwesterners, they also have really interesting stories. So what we did was we first went there with no cameras. And for a couple days, we just sat in a conference room, and people would come in and talk to us for a half an hour at a time. And we would learn about their stories and learn about what part of their stories they would be willing to share. Because there were also stories that we really couldn't share because it would be really risky for some people who left some countries, you know, when they had to flee a country. So what's interesting too is that Radissa, who becomes our main, the main voice of the film, when we first met her and talked to her, and she left the room, and Cynthia and I looked at each other and we're like, she can walk us through the whole film. Like, she's our guide. But as we got filming and editing after 3 years of doing this for a 35-minute film, we thought, maybe we won't have Radissa do that. And then we did a version where we didn't have Radissa as the person who led us through. But then we went back to our original instinct and realized that that was really the way to go.
And so 3 years, 3 years for a 35-minute film, that is remarkable. So when did you start filming then?
So we filmed in July of 2019.
Okay.
That's when we started.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So we didn't think we would be filming for 3 years, but the pandemic slowed us down, as it did everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really hard to film there because we could only get in at certain times, and we all had to, we were testing before we went in. We would quarantine for a week, you know, just get to Milwaukee and then wait and then go in. We were filming through windows, through doors. But it allowed us to be able to capture things that were unfolding in the country over those 3 years that, you know, had there not been a pandemic, we would not have had the opportunity to tell some of the stories that we were able to tell.
We're talking to Sharon Leese, who is the co-director of the Critic Choice nominated film, The Flagmakers. And, you know, one of the things, and I don't know how much this came up by just being in Oak Creek, but I think the story of Oak Creek of the last 10 years is it was just the anniversary of the Sikh temple shooting in 2012. And the stories that came out of that, as far as immigrants and people who are different and how much community building came out of that 10 years ago, did that filter in at all in any of the stories you guys were able to capture?
Actually, we thought about including that in our documentary, but it's a 35-minute film, so we couldn't. But we tried many different ways because that is so core to the community, mm-hmm. and to the heart of the community. You know, that tragedy obviously stays with everyone forever. But we were just so impressed with the diversity in this, you know, Midwest town. And, you know, because you see it everywhere, and the food is great because there's all kinds of diversity of food. And the people and the way the different perspectives, we were just so impressed. We just, you know, from the beginning knew that this was just a really special place.
Absolutely. So then how did Giannis get involved? Cause I feel like, you know, arguably one of the most famous, beloved people in Wisconsin, maybe in the world, because how do you not love Giannis? But he obviously was coming off of the rise with the fictional depiction of his family and their immigration story. But how did he get involved in helping to be one of the executive producers for this film?
I know. we got really lucky. So so National Geographic is also producing the film, and we've licensed the rights to them. And they're owned by Disney Plus, which had Giannis had his project there. So when people around in Disney Plus and National Geographic, they were seeing rough cuts, they noticed that we had one of our characters, Sugar Ray, who's very much a Bucks fan. And as a matter of fact, that is the only flag if he were to fly a flag, that is the only flag he would fly.
I know more people who are also like that.
So they started seeing the tie-in, and through them, they were able to, see if he wanted to consider that and take a look at the film. And he looked at the film and then, kind of pretty quickly got on board and was a big supporter.
Yes, I could imagine. I mean, I think the similar threads I could imagine. Obviously, his immigration story is not an American one, besides obviously his rise to fame. But everything I saw from that movie is of what happened in Greece for him. And so it's another kind of feather as far as how much he is about community and raising people up and raising up this community and what he's meant to Wisconsin. So seeing his name attached to something. But then also, because I have more questions, but I feel like we should play a clip of the trailer, because both Jane and I, like, I don't know how anyone can get through watching this trailer without getting a little teared up. And so let's play a little bit of it.
When I moved from Serbia, it surprised me a little bit how much Americans love their flag. In all our flags, we have pieces of our employees' stories. That flag, you have story to tell. Story of us.
The first step is sewing the star field to the short stripes. Next person will take the long stripes.
I haven't worked at a place that has been this diverse before.
Good morning, everybody. Big lava, Miramanjesi, Salam Aleikum.
I understand the pride of immigrants looking at the American flag, being in a country where you could aspire to be anything that you want to be.
Nice people here. Don't remember all their names. Their names are different than American names, but that's okay.
Heard that Wisconsin accent strong. A lot of accents in the movie. So was it emotional to make this more so than other films you've made in the past?
Well, that's a tough question, because I do get into the emotions of my characters a lot. But this was in its own way very emotional, because we were telling the story of America and, you know, in a large scale, but then we also had the intimate stories of each of the people that we followed, and we know, and obviously you can tell that there's even more that we were not able to go into with each person. So there's a lot about, and a lot that's also very inspiring, because the especially the immigrants, you know, just kind of remind you of what the hope and the promise of this country is. And even though they go through some pretty big hardships and racism and attacks, they still have such a beautiful sense of this country.
And so when you and Cynthia decided to make, you found the manufacturing company, Eater. Okay. And did you know that you wanted it to be short? Because it feels like there's so much there that it could have been longer. Was it hard to keep it to 35 minutes?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge to make a short. And Cynthia and I did go into it knowing that we wanted it to be a short. There were times when we thought, wow, we really have a feature here. But there's just something so poetic about a short. We wanted it to have the experience of it, for people to feel like it was like they were in the experience of a feature length, but tell it in a very short, tight way, though not feeling rushed.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a break quickly. Our guest this half hour is Sharon Lees, who is the co-director of The Flag Makers, which is already won a Critics' Choice. It was a Critics' Choice nominated and Oscar contender. So I want to talk a little bit more about the reception so far, and also how this could maybe end up on Broadway. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
To America, got a dream they come to share. Country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, of thee I sing.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season.
And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes. But I am not a criminal.
I work for youth advocate programs, I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Off to look for America.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Sharon Leese, who is the co-director of The Flag Makers, which is a short documentary that was filmed right in Oak Creek about exactly that. The both local people, people from Wisconsin, immigrants who are making America's flags. It's the largest American flag company in the country, and it is executive produced by Giannis himself. It is distributed and produced by National Geographic, and it's recently been nominated for a Critics' Choice Award, and it's also in the top 15 contenders for short documentary for Oscars.
Yes.
Congratulations. Yes. That has to feel... Obviously, you don't make films to get awards, but it has to feel good when it happens.
Yeah, it's pretty thrilling. It's humbling, and it's also very, very thrilling.
And so what, beyond just the award recognitions, what else has been the reception? Is there any anecdotal stories that you've heard from people who've seen it, who, what it's meant to them?
Oh yeah. And we hear this mostly at some of the screenings because we've been at film festivals. And you know, people come up to you afterwards and they relate to one of the characters in the film, and they'll tell us about that, or they'll talk about Barb, who's lived in the Midwest her whole life, and they may talk about how America failed her. And she might not feel that way, Barb herself, but they see that, or someone who, an immigrant who will come up to us and tell us that, you know, they see themselves in those stories, or people who, really want to talk about the flag and about how they are concerned about flying a flag and they don't fly a flag anymore because they don't want people to mistake what they believe, whatever that is.
That's a topic we've talked on the show before, as far, especially around 4th of July, is the shifting in our country of what the symbolism of the American flag. And obviously it was so funny watching the trailer, right? The intricacies of sewing an actual American flag, not like a cheap plastic one you buy on Amazon, but the appropriation, at least in this country, of we put the American flag on so much merch and, clothes and stuff, but an actual American flag and how delicately it's sewn together. I think even just from watching the trailer, you can tell the craftsmanship that goes into making a high quality flag. But it's interesting because right in the beginning, when is that Radissa who says this country really loves their flag.
Yeah. Like she couldn't believe that she could make a whole career of almost 30 years making American flags. Like how many flags do they need? And right now they're at like at 400% growth rate in the demand for American flags. Yeah. It's just insane. And they have like a second shift, a third shift. They're working on the weekends. They just cannot meet the demand.
And so this is, because I do want to get to the Broadway buzz, but when you were doing the search of where you could have the backdrop for this story, how many American flag companies are there in the country?
That is a good question. I really don't know, because I just know that there are several of these large ones, and you know, Eater being the largest, and a lot of them are in the Midwest. But I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I was just because, as you said, if they're having so many shifts and they have such a high demand, it'd be interesting to see how many other companies are in a similar situation. So, it actually worked out well that we had to reschedule this interview a couple times, because since I first reached out to you and Cynthia, I saw this headline in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that there's now potential that or interest in turning this story into a Broadway musical.
Yeah, it's actually been optioned already for a Broadway musical with Mark Gordon of Come From Away fame.
Love that.
So, yeah, and we're really excited about that because there are so many stories that I think lend themselves to a musical in that Come From Away sort of way. It can be amazing. All the different music and the languages and all of the incredible stories that we weren't able to tell in because of time or safety. We'll be able to do it in a Broadway show.
Sharon, I'm just going to throw this one name out there. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
Seriously.
That natural. I can see that.
Has that ever happened to any other movies or documentaries you've made before, as far as the very clear vision of like, oh, you can see the jump of how this would become true to the story, but still like a narrative in a totally different medium?
No, I mean, for shorts, especially, this is the first time we've ever heard of this happening. It has happened with feature docs I've heard before, but not with a short. But there are so many things, especially with an ensemble cast, that you can tell these incredible stories, and some of the stories that, you know, for safety reasons we were not sharing, but you know, it can be fictionalized now and nobody would get hurt. So we're excited, because if you walk through the factory itself, everyone has like their own little workstations, you know, where they've decorated in something from their country. And then they all have they have radios going with all the different music. So you walk through and it's just such a soundscape of different sounds from the world.
Oh, that just gave me chills, especially when you said Lin-Manuel. What was the combo of Come From Away and Lin-Manuel Miranda and like the possibilities of all of that makes this Broadway nerd very excited. So for the time being, where can people stream The Flagmakers right now?
So you can see it on Disney Plus tomorrow, January 6th, for 2 weeks. You can also find it on Hulu.
Oh, great. Absolutely. And so anything else you'd like people to know before we close out the show and let you go?
I just think, I hope people see this film and think about all the things that they have thought about the American flag before and compare that to what they think about it after they see the film.
And Sharon, I just want to say too, when they do go see it, and I know people who are listening will, bring Kleenex. You're going to be a slobbering, snotty, teary mess.
good advice, Jay. All right. Sharon Lees, co-director of The Flagmakers, which you can find on Disney Plus right now and for 2 weeks starting today on Hulu. Perfect.
Yes, starting tomorrow.
Starting tomorrow. Thank you. Sharon, thank you so much for taking time to spend with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
All
right. It was great.
Well, this will about do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 11. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes Show. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. Aching and I don't know.
up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.